Stephen Caldwell of TSN in about 30 minutes on what they did on the pitch last night at Stad Saputo. Melnick in the afternoon. Welcome back. It's game night, Habs and Penguins at 7. I hate to break in on this. Such a great song. But we have Adrian standing by. Pretty Pink Rose from the Adrian Belew album, Young Lions, in 1990. There's another collaboration with Bowie on that album called Gunman. He worked with David Bowie in the 70s. Also served as band leader during the Sound and Vision tour in 1990. Perfect for his role in the Celebrating Bowie tour that hits the Olympia Theater tomorrow night with, among others, Mr. Todd Rundgren, Angelo Bundini. You may know him as Scroat. He's also the co-producer of the event with Miles Copeland. Angela Moore of Fishbone and many, many others. It's a pleasure to welcome one of the best guitar players on the planet. Trent Reznor is not the only high-profile musician who says he might be the best musician in the world. Mr. Adrian Belew, how you doing?
I am doing great, thank you. We're having a wonderful tour. Great turnouts, people loving the show. What could be better?
This is a beautiful thing. Welcome to Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Andy Bennett, John Steele. You're in Quebec?
I am, yes. In about half an hour or so, we do our sound check for this evening, and then the show starts at 8 o'clock.
All right, you guys kicked off this tour in California a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just curious, you know, you've got so much brilliant talent on the same stage. This appears to be a guitar fan and guitar players night of nights with the three of you that I mentioned. How do you end up divvying up the songs and the arrangements?
Well, as you mentioned, Scroat, Angelo Bundini, is our producer. I work with him closely on the material I think I could excel at that makes sense for me, and I think he does that with the other players. And so who he chooses to be in each Celebrating David Bowie band, we've done three of these tours now, decides the material to some degree. You have five singers, so there's no one person singing like David Bowie all the time. No one could. And, you know, Todd Rundgren and myself, we do a lot of some of the bigger pieces like Pretty Pink Rose or Space Oddity or Life on Mars. We do those together, harmonizing, so that makes for kind of a nice thing. Angelo Moore's specialty is more things like Suffragette City and songs like that from that era. He's an incredible performer, though. He changes costumes for every piece he does and comes on and really totally rocks the show. By the end, he has everybody up dancing in their seats, you know.
Adrian.
And then, go ahead, sorry.
No, I we only have you for a short period of time, and I want to try to cover as much as I can. It's a brilliant show. I've seen clips. I want to know the first time you met Bowie, what that was like, and how did that come about?
I was playing with Frank Zappa in Cologne, Germany, and Brian Eno was there in the audience. He knew that David was looking for a new guitarist to join his tour, which started, the rehearsals for that started 2 weeks after Frank's tour ended. So the next two nights later, we were in Berlin. So Eno had called David and said, you need to see this guitar player. Two nights later, we were playing in Berlin. I was on the stage with Frank playing, and there was a part of the show where I would always leave. Everyone would leave except Frank and the bass player and drummer. So Frank would take a long solo. And as I was leaving the stage, I looked over. There by the monitor mixer was David Bowie and Iggy Pop. Apart from the fact that my mind was a little blown, I just walked over and said, hey, David, I just want to say thank you for all the great music. I love what you do. And he said, great. How'd you like to be in my band?
So wait a minute. Where was Lou Reed?
Lou must have been asleep somewhere. Yeah. I don't know.
So that did you have to go to Frank and say, I've been offered this other job, or there was an understanding at the end of the tour you would move on?
No, there was not an understanding. I thought I would stay with Frank, but here's what actually happened. Frank told everyone in the band that we would be on retainer for 4 months after the show while he edited the movie we had made called Baby Snakes. And David's tour was 4 months long, at least at that point. Eventually, it went on for a year and a half. But once I knew the offer was for real, I went and talked to Frank, and I said, I have this offer. What do you think I should do? I can stay on retainer and do nothing. I'm happy to do that. And he said, no, you should go with David Bowie and come back when you're done. But things don't always work out. Frank, changed his mind, started a new band, and the Bowie tour, as I said, went for a year and a half instead. So, but I always went back to see Frank whenever I was in L.A. I'd go up to see his house being built, his studio changing, and just talk with him and have a great time.
Man, it's like you found these people who are on the same wavelength as you throughout your entire career, from Zappa to Bowie to Robert Fripp and King Crimson and David Byrne and the Talking Heads. And is there I'm guessing it for a kid who started playing guitar because of Jimi Hendrix, that's not exactly the path you continued on.
Well, no, I really started playing guitar because I had songs in my head. I couldn't explain them to anyone. I played drums at the time. So I thought, well, I better teach myself to play guitar so I can be a songwriter. You mentioned Jimi Hendrix, and people like that came along soon thereafter, and that kind of fueled my desire to play electric guitar and make sounds and go in that direction. But I never imagined anything like playing with all those different people. Who would think you'd, play with David Bowie? What I imagined was it more straightforward on, someday I hope to get a record deal and put out my own records. And that happened eventually too, so that's good. But yeah, I love to be with all the innovative people. I don't know. They're attracted to what I do, and that's what I love about them. So it works out.
And now Todd Rundgren.
Now Todd Rundgren. And Todd and I are not only doing the Bowie tour here, but we also have put out a single called Puzzle from his new record. And he and I co-wrote it and sang it and performed it together.
We're chatting with the great Adrian Belew in Quebec City tonight at the Olympia Theater in Montreal tomorrow for the celebration of David Bowie's music across the board from beginning to end throughout his career, all the different phases and stages. A wonderful show. We'll have a pair of tickets to give away when we say goodbye, our final pair of tickets that we're giving away when we say goodbye to Adrian in just a couple of minutes. Mitch Melnick, Andy Bennett, and John Still. Andy?
Adrian, what Bowie song is like deceptively difficult to sing? Like the first time you sang it, maybe your respect for him as a vocalist increased.
Well, they're all pretty hard to sing, honestly, because David really was a very, very good singer with a great range. I think one of the hardest ones has to be Life on Mars. That's a very hard song to sing. And Todd does that one and does a good job with it. My favorite thing that I used to sing with David was Space Oddity. That was our first song of every show. We did 108 shows and played in 27 countries in 1990. And the show would always start with that song, me standing next to David. The light would come on him. He'd start singing. Then the light would come on me. And I'd start singing the harmony. And every single time I got chills for 108 shows. Wow.
What was he like to hang with?
Oh, man, he was so fun to hang with. He really had a great sense of humor, very self-deprecating in a way. He didn't take it all too seriously. But he was just such a curious and brilliant person. I mean, he knew a lot about a lot of subjects. And once he found something that he wanted to know about, he tended to know everything about it. So I went with him one time in Spain to the Prado Museum. We had a lot of days off on that tour because they had to build the stage everywhere we went. And we were walking around inside the museum, and all of a sudden I felt like I had an art tour guide. You know, Adrian, here's the painting here. You notice the purple and the gold? Well, that's because the Pope in that time said that purple and gold had to be in every painting. So it was like having my own tour guide.
He does seem like, that famous clip of him talking about the internet. I mean, he was so ahead of his time in the way he was thinking about technology and what it was going to evolve into. Was that like a commonplace, like the way his brain worked like that? Is that an accurate description of how he kind of just was day to day?
I think the word that most describes him to me is intellectually and curious. So he was so curious about everything. Yeah, he was always changing channels, so to speak. And that was the way he would also create new characters and new directions for himself musically and come up with such fantastic stage designs and costume things that he worked with all these people. So David Bowie was just, so ahead of everyone.
And he's always had the great guitar slingers with him, the late Mick Ronson and Nile Rodgers, Carlos Alomar. Did you know or do you know any of these dudes?
I did a record with Peter Gabriel and Nile Rodgers. Carlos was, in fact, on both tours. On the first tour in 77 and 78. 78 and 79, he was the band director. I never got to meet Mick. Nor Stevie Ray Vaughan, or of course the other guitar player was Robert Fripp, who I met for 33 years.
That's okay. So Todd Rundgren only recently got into the Hall of Fame. He was so impressed he didn't show up for the ceremony. I'm just curious why you think that King Crimson is not in the Hall, and even you as a sideman at the very least, does that stuff mean anything to you?
Yeah, I would consider it a great honor, honestly. I mean, because it is. I mean, to be recognized that way. I don't know why it's not happening for either of us. I just recently played with my trio at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and one of the guys who was leading me around said that there's a movement in amongst the people who work there to try to get King Crimson in. But I said, well, don't worry about King Crimson. You know, that's just one of the things I've done. Just put me in.
Put you and your pedal setup in, right? That's got to be a display at the Hall, has it not been?
Yeah, I've got a few pedals they can have.
Do you have any particularly fond or not so fond memories of playing in Montreal?
Oh, I only have fond memories. Yeah, I love Montreal. I'm so happy we're coming back, because it has been a while for me personally since the COVID drought to get up here into Canada. And I want to come back with my band too as soon as possible next year. And I also want to say here I am in Quebec, and we rehearsed with David for the 1990 tour about 2 weeks of production rehearsal here in Quebec and played our first show here. So this is a little special to me too.
Adrian Belew, a treat talking to you. Can't wait to see you on stage with the rest of the gang at the Olympia Theater tomorrow night. Tickets available at olympiatheater.com. We got one pair up for grabs next. All the very best tonight, and look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow night. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope everyone comes out. It's a great show. We're going to have a great time with you. Yeah.
This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door. And I'm floating in a most peculiar way. And the stars look very different.
Okay, no Melnick quiz for this.